You love the Lord today?
Amen.
Yeah, she knows how to say amen. That's good. We got something else going up at Kingsway. I say glory.
Hallelujah.
So I'm just keying you in here now. I like a little participation. It kind of calms my nerves down, settles me down. And I just loved, I thank God for the greatest privilege, Brother Lonnie, he ever gave me. And you said I didn't want to do it. I didn't start with. And I tell you what, some days I get up, I'm thinking, do I really want to do this? But I got to.
Amen.
I got to. Because what he did for me, he gave everything for me. And I thank him for that. And I love him. And I just want to serve him. Well, my message is not going to be quite the same as Brother Lonnie's. God didn't want it that way.
Amen.
God gave us each one a message. And he put upon our hearts what he wanted to share. And I got a little intimidated when Brother Ryan, he called me and asked me. And I said yes, prayed about it. And then I seen the schedule he put out. He put Brother Doyle Williamson last night. He put Lonnie Burks ahead of me. And he put Alan Epinette after me. And I thought, I am the least of these. And Brother Mike Hutzel encouraged me. He said, there's a rose between two thorns. I love you, Brother Mike. Tell you what, a little encouragement goes a long way. And I thank the Lord for that. Man, God is so good to us, and I thank him for that. You have your Bibles today?
Yes.
Stand with me. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. My message today will come from this scripture that we'll read. The title today would be, Do All to the Glory of God. Do all to the glory of God. And we'll see in the scriptures. Give you just a second to find your place. I just thank God for the privilege and opportunity to be here. You people are so good and so kind. And I smelt the food in the back already. I'll not let that hinder me or distract me. There's good food here. Amen. There's better food right here. We feast upon that and we stay in that. We'll have all the food that we need. If you found your place, say amen.
Amen.
1 Corinthians chapter 10, beginning at verse 26. We'll read through the end of the chapter. It says, For the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. If any of them that believe not bid you to a feast and you be disposed to go, whatsoever is set before you, eat, asking no question for conscience sake. But if any man say unto you, This is offered in sacrifice unto idols, Eat not for this is his sake that shewed you, and for conscience sake. For the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. Conscience, I say, not thine own, but of the other. For why is my liberty judge of another man's conscience? For if I by grace be a partaker, why am I evil spoken of for that for which I give thanks? Whether therefore you eat or drink or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God.
Amen.
Give not offense. Neither to the Jews, nor to the Gentiles, nor to the church of God. Even as I please all men and all things, not seeking my own profit, but the profit of many, that they may be saved. Verse 31, Whether therefore you eat, or whether you drink, or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. I want us to realize today that God deserves all glory for everything. And everything that we do, He should be glorified and He should be lifted up. Pray with me if you would this day. Father, we come before your throne of grace today, Father. What a privilege it is to be in your house, Father. What a privilege it was to hear the word of God preached from my old pastor, Brother Lonnie. And I want to thank you for him, Father, and the stand that he has taken through the years, Father. Always standing for the cross of Christ. And I just thank you for that, Father. And these other men, Father, that have preached here and will preach, Father. Thank you, Lord, for their love for you, Father, and their service. And in everything that they do, it's all for your glory, Father. And I thank you for that. Now, Father, help me here just a few moments, Lord, just to share what you've laid on my heart. And I pray that you would use me this day. And, Father, that you would be glorified and you'll be lifted up. And, Father, we'll give you praise and glory and honor. For we ask it in Jesus' name. And everybody said,
Amen.
Amen. You can be seated. Thank the Lord for what he's doing. Why are we here today, church? Why are we here? The first answer that we would give is because we've come most of the time to just live in the moment. We've come here to camp meeting to hear some anointed singing. Amen? We come to hear anointed singing. Hey, we're here to come to hear some fiery preaching. Amen. That's what we come to camp meeting for, to hear those things. These are just our in-the-moment answers. Hey, I don't know about you, but we might be here to partake in the victuals. Amen? And some of you are going, what did he say? I'm talking about the food they're going to serve us here after a while. That's the good food these precious folks here at Oak Lane have prepared and be serving you. I can't say for sure that it's anointed, but I can tell you it will satisfy. It will satisfy and it will take care of you. Amen? Come on, don't leave me now. I ran across a little video of a man, and a man that's done passed on and gone to be with the Lord. He's known as Evangelist Billy Kelly. Anybody ever heard of him? I know Brother Doyle has. And I was amazed when I stumbled across the preaching that I heard from this man. It's the preaching that we need in the church in these days, staying true to the old word of God. But Brother Billy Kelly would tell of being invited to people's homes to fellowship and enjoy a meal together. You could tell by looking at him and also at looking at me, we don't want to hurt anybody's feelings. We're invited over to eat. Amen. He would tell that after enjoying a good meal and the lady of the house was clearing the table, that she would tell them to hold their fork. And Brother Billy said with enthusiasm, that meant something good was on the way. Something good was on the way. I want to encourage you today, friends. Remember to hold on to your fork today, because the best is yet to come with the Lord Jesus Christ. He preached about what he did on the cross at Calvary. He told us how much that he loved us and what he offers to us. And to glory in the cross of Christ. It deserves all glory and it deserves all honor. I want to encourage you, folks. The best is still yet to come. 1 Corinthians 2:9. But it is written, I have not seen nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. Our scripture tells us, whether therefore you eat or drink or whatsoever you do, do to the glory of God. The main thing in a believer's life is to please God and to give him the glory for everything. Therefore, we cannot be done for his glory, should it not? Therefore, what is done for his glory should not be done at all. Amen. The best is yet to come, folks. And Brother Lonnie, I thought as God had saved my soul and what he did in my life, and then he put the weight of calling me to preach his word upon me. And I thought, I've got to serve him. I've got to be faithful to him. Look what he gave for me. Look what he did for me on the cross at Calvary. He gave everything. He poured his life out for me. I owe him no less but to give him everything. And I've been thinking on this. He said, me and him talked a little bit before church and the thing just going on in this church world. They're not preaching the Bible anymore. They're getting away from the Word of God. They're getting away from the blood of Christ. And I want to tell you, without the shedding of blood, there's no forgiveness of sins. It takes the blood of Christ to wash away your sins and to forgive you. Oh, we got to do everything that we do for the glory of God, to give honor unto Him. I tell you, in our preaching, it's got to be that way. They're getting away from it. They don't want people to know what the forgiveness is. And that's Satan's deception in this time that we live in. Wanting to deceive and people to look under other things, because he don't want nobody following God and being true to God. Well, I want to believe in my heart today that you're here. You're sold out. Amen. You're following Christ and you're staying true to Him. Sister Debbie gave this testimony one day at church, and I love it. She said, when I got salvation, it stuck. Right. It stuck and it's still stuck. Amen. That's the way it should be. Preaching the Bible tells us to be faithful to Him and do all to the glory of God. Amen. To His glory and to His honor. Because He gave it all on that cross at Calvary. What amazing God that we have. Oh, the best is yet to come, church. The best is yet to come. John tells us in John 3:30, He must increase, but I must decrease. I give glory unto Him by my obedience, my thankfulness, and my reliance upon Him, and my prayer, and my faith and loyalty. I give Him glory by being obedient in all these things. Therefore, do all to the glory of God must be the direction of my life and a guide for my conduct and a test for my actions. Yeah. How that I live my life. You know it does matter how we live our life, Christians. It matters 100%. It matters 100%. I've been around people and worked with people that they tell you they're Christians, and you just step back and you look and you don't see it because they're not living for the Lord. I'm talking about when Christ saves you, there's a difference in your life. And all glory goes to God because He delivers you from them things. There's a man sitting back here. I wrestled around, tried to get to him. He's sitting in the back here with a nice looking beard on his face. man by the name of Albert Dixon. I worked with him. We worked together for years there at Pace Industries. Man, I thank God for what I've seen God do in his life. I don't know how long ago it's been, Brother Albert, you got saved. Long time. Praise the Lord. I seen him before the Lord saved him. I knew what he was and knew how he was. But I see what God has done. He's living for the Lord. Amen. When God saves you, it changes us and we must live for the Lord. We can't go on living the way that we used to do. And that's the kind of preaching that's going on, Brother Allen, in these churches, these mega churches. Oh, it'll just be all right. You just live any way that you want to. You go any way that you want to. You do whatever you want to. And everything that you do, do to his glory. Hey, if you think you can go out and you can walk into the bars, amen. If you think you can go out and walk into the dance halls and live like you used to do, you didn't get it. It didn't stick. Amen. I want to tell you there's a difference in your life when you get saved. It gives glory unto him in your life. He will change you and he'll make you into what he'll have you to be. What a loving and mighty God do we serve. Therefore, do all to the glory of God. Must be the direction of my life and a guide for my conduct and a test of my actions. How I live matters. I want us to look today at the glory of God phrase and the word glory. And they're used in different ways in the word of God. First, I want to look at this. Sometimes it describes his splendor and his majesty. 1 Chronicles 29 and 11 says, "Thine, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty. For all that is in heaven and the earth is thine. Thine is the kingdom, O Lord, and thou art exalted as head above all." What does the scriptures tell about us as splendor and his majesty? Thine, O Lord, is the glory. Thine, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the victory and the majesty. He's worthy of all of that. Because that's who he is. Habakkuk 3:3-5, verse 1 tells it's the prophet's prayer. Hear what he proclaims is God's glory. God came from Teman and the Holy One from Mount Paran, Salah. His glory covered the heavens. And the earth was full of his praise and his brightness was as the light. He had thorns coming out of his hand and there was the hiding of his power. Before him went the pestilence. And burning coals went at his feet. His glory, his glory. The prophet cried out and prayed out. His glory covered the heavens. Friends, his glory is so great that no human can see it and live. Moses in the book of Exodus went into the tabernacle to talk with God. Moses entered into the tabernacle and the cloudy pillar descended and stood at the door and the Lord talked with Moses. You say, God has never met with me and talked with me like that? My, friends. Well, you need to learn how to use the altar. I want to tell you what. God will talk to you at the altar. God will speak to you. We've gotten so used in programming that I've got to run here for every need and lay it here. And rightly we should. The Word of God tells us that. Sometimes we need to come out here to the altar and we need to listen to God. Listen to what God would tell us. It's for His glory. It's for His honor. But we're so quick to run there and say, God, I got to have this. God, I got to have that. God, give me this. God, give me that. When I tell you what, there's a time you need to stop. You need to listen. Answered the call to preach. Right over, Brother Joe Fancher was preaching. Preaching about a battle axe, if I remember right, title of the sermon. The altar call was given. And I came to the altar. And I come to pray for this little lady right here, my mother. Pray for my daddy. For my daddy to get right and be saved. I prayed. I come to do that. I come with that on my heart and on my mind. And I came. I don't think I got to the altar that night. I think I was over here. Brother Lonnie knew the Lord was dealing with me. And he came up. And you know what? He began to pray. And God began to speak. Couldn't pray for mom and daddy like I thought I was going to when I come up here. It was God spoke to my heart. God said, I want you to preach my word. I'm telling you, we got to listen. We got to hear what God's telling us in these times and give Him glory for it. Yeah. Brother Joy, Brother Lonnie says that you didn't want to. I don't. I didn't. I wrestled with it. I fought with it. Why does every preacher say that? Let God call you and you'll find out why. It's plain and simple. Amen, Brother Ryan. We got to get back to listening to God. Why do we need to listen to God? Because everything that we do is to be done for His glory.
Right.
If I'm not listening to Him and obeying Him, Brother Jamie, I'm going against Him. And what I'm doing is not for His glory. It's not for His honor. I'm taken away from His glory. Of what He would have me to be to serve Him. Does He need Joey Wilson to be glorified? No. But He's called me, Brother Mike, and I'm going to serve Him. I'm going to be faithful to that calling. And I'm going to go all the way with Him. Because it's stuck in my life. I'm going to live my life different. I'm going to be a different man for Him. Because He loved me and He gave Himself for me. Boy, you can't preach without going back around by the cross, can you?
No.
Everything you say, you come back around and say, I got to do it for Him. For what He did on the cross, Brother Wayne. Hallelujah for the cross. You're supposed to say glory there when I said hallelujah. I learned that because my church was testing me that way. I'd usually say glory, and they say hallelujah, and then some of them's throwing back glory at me, so I got to go. It's a place to hear from God so that we can give Him glory. We're talking about the glory of God. I'm to do all to His glory. Talking about Moses, Exodus 33:17-23. And the Lord said unto Moses, I will do this thing also that thou hast spoken, for I have found grace in my sight, and I know thee by name. And he said, I beseech thee, shew me thy glory. And he said, I will make all my goodness pass before thee, and I will proclaim the name of the Lord before thee. And I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious. And I will shew mercy on whom I will shew mercy. And he said, thou cannot see my face, for there shall no man see me and live. And the Lord said, behold, there is a place by me, and thou shalt stand upon a rock. And it shall come to pass while my glory passes by, that I will put thee in a cleft of the rock, and will cover thee with my hand while I pass by. And I will take away my hand, and thou shalt see my back parts, but my face shall not be seen. A wonderful Savior is Jesus my Lord. A wonderful Savior is me. He hideth my soul in the cleft of the rock, where rivers of pleasure I see. He hideth my soul in the cleft of the rock that shadows a dry thirsty land. And He hideth my life in the depths of His love and covers me there with His hand. Moses told God he wanted to see Him. Moses, you can't see me and live. I'm going to hide you in the cleft of the rock, and you can see my backside as I pass by. Hey, hold on to the fork. A better thing's coming. A better thing's coming. Hold on to that fork. A better thing's coming. Oh, the Bible tells us that we're going to see Him. Amen. We're going to see Him. His glory is so great we cannot know here in this world. We cannot behold His face. But we need to hold on to the fork. 1 John 3:2 says, Beloved, now are we the sons of God. Doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when we shall appear, when He shall appear, we shall be like Him. For we shall see Him as He is. Glory, hallelujah. I'm going to see Him. I'm going to see His face. Brother Artis, I'm going to see Him. I'm going to spend eternity worshiping Him. All glory to God. Amen. Praise Him. All glory unto Him. Brother Joy, does everything you do glorify Him? And I regretfully say no. No, not everything I do glorifies Him. But I want you to know that I'm on a journey. And what will help me in that journey is to understand that I owe Him everything. I owe everything unto Him. If one does not understand they owe everything unto Him, then they're not going to do everything unto Him. And who is He? He's the King of Glory. Psalm 24, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. For He founded it upon the seas and established it upon the floods. Who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord? Who shall stand in His holy place? He that hath clean hands and a pure heart, who hath not lifted up his soul into vanity, nor sworn deceitfully, he shall receive the blessing from the Lord and righteousness from the God of his salvation. This is the generation of them that seek Him, that seek thy face, O Jacob, Salah. Lift up your heads, O ye gates, and be lifted up, you everlasting doors, and the King of Glory shall come in. Who is the King of Glory? The Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, O ye gates, even lift them up, you everlasting doors, and the King of Glory shall come in. Who is the King of Glory? The Lord of hosts. He is the King of Glory. Salah. Boy, this preacher preaches, he reads a lot of scripture. You know what I'm called to do?
All right, preach the
I'm called to preach that right there. If I just stand up here and tell you stories and fables and things like that, it won't mean nothing in your life. This is what will change your life right here. You listen to the word of God. You listen to every word. He is the King of glory. We owe everything unto Him. He gave everything for us. He gave everything for us. Who is the King of glory? He's my Jesus. Why does this world not bow down and worship Him? Because they've lost something. We've lost the awe of God. Man has it. Has and is seeking to worship and give glory to the creation instead of the Creator. Romans 1:25, who changed the truth of God into a lie and worship and serve the creature more than Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. Satan has blinded the minds of them which believe not, tells us in 2 Corinthians 4:3-4, so that they turn to Genesis and they rip out the very first verse. It's what man would love to do. That's how they destroy. That's how Satan's working in this world. Getting people away, getting men away from preaching the Word of God. Well, first off, they're hirelings if they're not preaching the Word of God. Amen? They're there to draw a check. I'm there to preach the Word of God. I'm there to pray for people and help people, encourage them in the Lord, and give all glory unto Him. I don't need no jet plane to fly me around. I don't need those things to brag upon and have in my life. All I need is this right here tucked under my arm and be able to lay it before me and read it and tell you what God spoke to my heart and give all glory unto Him. Amen. It's not about what we build here in this world. It's about giving glory and honor unto Him. Amen. Oh, the world wants to turn and wants to rip out. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. They want to take that out and rip it out. Why? Because that's where the glory for man unto God began. We see that He created everything. That He created it for us to live in this world. Why should we give glory unto God? Because He is the King of glory in creation. And I want to read you this. I know you've heard this before, but I thought it fits so well in this as I was studying. To God be glory for everything. I'm telling you, the world wants to take God out of everything by ripping the very first page out where God created. And God stepped out on space and He looked around and said, I'm lonely. I'll make me a world. And as far as the eye could see, darkness covered everything, blacker than 100 midnights down in a sulfur swamp. Then God smiled and the light broke and the darkness rolled up on one side and the light stood shining on the other. And God said, that's good. Glory. Come on now. I'm talking about the God that created everything. This is James Weldon Johnson's poem that he gave for this. And I think it's good. Then God reached out and took the light in His hands, rolled the light around in His hands until He made the sun, and He set the sun ablazing in the heavens. And the light that was left from making the sun, God gathered it up in a shining ball and flung it against the darkness, spangling the night with the moon and stars. Then down between the darkness and the light, He hurled the world. And God said, that's good. Glory. Yeah. Now I'm adding this glory, hallelujah, in there. You need to think about what God's doing here. This is just a reading of the first chapter of Genesis with enthusiasm to it. Amen? We need to understand that God created all of this. Then God Himself stepped down and the sun was on His right hand, the moon was on His left, the stars were clustered about His head, and the earth was under His feet. And God walked, and where He trod, His footsteps hollowed the valleys out and bulged the mountains up. Then He stopped and looked and saw that the earth was hot and barren. So God stepped over to the edge of the world. He spat out the seven seas. He batted His eyes and the lightnings flashed. He clapped His hands and the thunders rolled and the waters above the earth came down. The cooling waters came down. Then the green grass sprouted and the little red flowers blossomed. The pine tree pointed his finger to the sky. The oak spread out his arms. The lakes cuddled down in the hollows of the ground. And the rivers ran down to the sea. And God smiled again. And the rainbow appeared and curled itself around his shoulder. Then God raised his arm and he waved his hand over the sea and over the land. And he said, bring forth, bring forth. And quicker than God could drop his hand, fishes and fowls and beasts and birds swam the rivers and seas, roamed the forests and the woods and split the air with their wings. And God said, that's good. Glory. Glory. Hallelujah. Then God walked around and God looked around on all that He had made. He looked at His sun. He looked at His moon. He looked at His little stars and He looked on His world with all its living things. And God said, I'm lonely still. Then God sat down on the side of a hill where He could think. By a deep, wide river, He sat down with His head in His hands. God thought and thought till He thought, I'll make me a man. Up from the bed of the river, God scooped the clay. And by the bank of the river, he kneeled him down. And there the great God Almighty, who lit the sun and fixed it in the sky, who flung the stars to the most corner of the night, who rounded the earth in the middle of his hand, this great God, like a mammy bending over a baby, kneeled down in the dust, toiling over a lump of clay till he shaped it in his own image. Brother Allen, then he blew in it to the breath of life. God blew into the nostrils of man the bread of life, and man became a living soul. Glory, hallelujah. I'm talking about giving all glory unto him for what he has done. Man, it's hot in here, Ryan. Whew. Glory. Do all to the glory of God, the creator and giver of all life. I'm just pointing you unto the Lord. I'm just trying to give glory unto him. If I have to shout and sweat and spit, I'll do it. Because he deserves it. Amen. He deserves all glory. There's no end to the splendor and majesty of God. Hallelujah. We may get there before we're done. The first that I wanted to look at was the glory of his majesty and his splendor. Now I want to look at something else. Another form of God's glory. And that is his presence among his people. It's the word Shekinah, which is the English transliteration of a Hebrew word meaning dwelling or settling, and denotes the presence of God in a place. That's how they use the word Shekinah. And I want us to look at this for a moment. And this is where I really wanted to be at today for us to hear and to understand. Moses saw God's Shekinah glory in the wilderness. If you want to flip over to Exodus chapter 3 with me, go ahead. Exodus chapter 3, verses 1 through 5. It says, if I'll get there. Now Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the backside of the desert. And he came to the mountain of God, even to Horeb. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of a fire out of the midst of a bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. And Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight while the bush is not burnt. And when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called unto him out of the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, here I am. And he said, draw not hither, put off thy shoes from off thy feet, for the place wherein thou standest is holy ground. Backside of the desert, a burning bush that God was calling out to him. And I want to tell you what, he told Moses to take his shoes off, for the place where thou standest is holy ground. I want to tell you, we need to understand about the Shekinah glory of God in this world. There is a presence of God in this world. Amen. God is here. God dwells among his people. We need to acknowledge that fact. Oh, we've got to where we treat church like a place together for a social gathering. The way that we come in and present ourselves and the way that we act, I tell you what, it probably breaks God's heart when he looks down. I imagine he would look down and say, hey, straighten up. Get to where you need to be so that all glory will come unto me. I believe that's what he's crying out to the church that we live in these days. I'm not for having a coffee shop in your church while church is going on, people sitting there and a coffee gathered around. I'm not for those kind of things. I'm for coming in and worshiping God. I'm for worshiping the King of glory and praising him. That's what I'm all about. Moses saw God's Shekinah glory in the wilderness. There he was in the backside of the desert, hiding out from the sins of his past, hiding out from God, and God got a hold of him. God made him to realize that he was on holy ground. How did he need to live his life? What he needed to be doing? And in Exodus chapter 13 and 21, the Lord went before them in a pillar of a cloud to lead them in a way, and by night a pillar of fire to give them light to go by day and night. Here we have God has got a hold of Moses. He's took him in there, and Moses did what God would have him to do and calling out to Pharaoh and proclaiming the plagues that were going to come upon him. And then God has delivered them from in the bondage and the slavery they're at. They've gone out into the wilderness, and here they are. God's presence is with them, Brother Allen. God is with them. God sends a cloud, a pillar of a cloud by day, and a pillar of fire by night, just so they know that God's with them out there in the wilderness. I want to tell you what. God is with you wherever you go. You're a child of God. God is with you. I know that life comes along and heartaches come in our life, but I want to tell you, God will never leave you nor forsake you. The Scripture says there's nothing that will separate you from the love of God. That's the love that He has for you. He will not leave you. He'll chase after you. He'll chase after you, Brother Chris Sparks. He'll call out to you and He'll draw you unto Him. We got to be faithful to the King of Glories, looking unto Him and listening to Him. Here they are. They're out there. You might not see the pillar of a cloud in your life. You might not see that pillar of a fire. But He's with you and He will take care of you. Exodus 24, the glory of God abode upon the Mount Sinai. And the sight of the glory was like devouring fire in the eyes of the children of Israel. Then in Exodus 25 and 8, let them make me a sanctuary that I may dwell among them. God says, hey, build me a place. Put a place there that I can dwell among you. Exodus 29:43, God called it His glory. And there I will meet with the children of Israel, and the tabernacle shall be sanctified by my glory. Exodus 40:34, then a cloud covered the tent of the congregation, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. And then I like this, going on down to 1 Kings chapter 8, verse 10. When the priests came out of the holy place, the temple was filled with a cloud. Verse 11 says, the priest could not stand to minister because of the cloud, for the glory of the Lord had filled the house of the Lord. Boy, get a picture of this. They'd completed the temple. Everything was in place. All that they lacked was bringing the Ark of the Covenant in. And they went to the city of David and they got the Ark of the Covenant. And here they come. They're bringing the Ark. Going to bring it into the temple. Says they were sacrificing sheep and oxen, so many that they couldn't even number it. They were making sacrifice unto God. Why? To give glory unto Him. They were making sacrifice unto Him. And it says when they got it into the house of God that the smoke filled it and the priests had to go out. They couldn't stand to minister. Hey, I thought about this and I thought, hey, preachers, pastors, maybe we need to get out of God's way sometime and let Him do what He wants to do in His house. Amen? It's for His glory and not ours. It's for His glory. Let's understand that today. And all that I do is for His glory. For His glory and to give praise unto Him. So many times we get in and we won't get out of God's way. God's working, God's moving. And we think we've got to do every little thing that we think we've got to do. Hey, I'm all for following the Spirit. Amen.
Yeah. Amen,
Brother. Oh, Lord. Yeah. You're a free will Baptist. I tell the church that the Lord allowed me to pastor that I'm going to say what God would have me say. I'm going to preach what He had me to preach. And if He would have me to stop midway in, if that's what He wants, that's what we're going to do. Amen?
Amen.
And God works and God moves. We got to learn to listen. Preachers, pastors, Sunday school teachers, song leaders. We got to learn to just stop and get out of God's way and let Him do what He wants to do. So many times we hinder. We don't give all glory unto Him.
Yep.
I'm telling you, He's worthy of all praise. He's worthy of all glory.
Amen.
I want to look at the Shekinah glory in the New Testament. John 1:14, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory. The glory is of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. The presence of God in a place. The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. Do you hear what the Scripture said? The shepherds saw His glory at His birth in Luke 2:9. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them. The glory of the Lord shone round about them. And they were so afraid. The angel declared, glory to God in the highest. I'm talking about the presence of God, the Shekinah glory that comes down. The shepherds returned glorifying, praising God because they had been where the birth of the Lord and Savior was. The presence of God was there. The presence of God was among His people. All through the Scriptures, we see the Shekinah glory of God. We see His presence among people. Well, where does that get to us today? John 3:16. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting light. Well, how's that God's Shekinah glory? How's His presence with us? He loved us so much, He gave. He gave His begotten Son unto us. What a sight to behold on Calvary. What a sight to see. They sacrificed the sheep and the oxen. They did so many they couldn't number it. But I want us to see where the Shekinah glory of God is here. What a sight to behold on Calvary. One sacrifice offered. Sacrificed an offering thou wouldest not, but a body hast thou prepared me, Jesus proclaimed. Jesus was that sacrifice. Jesus gave himself. His presence, the presence of God, was here. The presence of God in our life. Hey, we need to learn to forget all everything else, but look for the Shekinah glory of God, His presence with us. You say, where is His presence? The book of Acts says that He returned to the Father, and that is true. He returned to be at the right hand of the Father. But listen what He told us before He left. John 16:7. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It's expedient for you that I go away. For I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send Him unto you. Amen. Hallelujah. The presence of God. He says, I'm going to the Father, but I'm going to send the Holy Spirit to be with you. He's going to be known as the Comforter. He's going to come. I'm talking about experiencing the Shekinah glory. The Shekinah glory, the presence of God in our life. And how do you experience that? Brother Lonnie, you may remember this. All of Oak Lane and Kingsway knows that Tammy has serious health issues. She has had some bad times in the past, and God has taken care of her. Glory to God. Amen. Glory to God. Amen. We were in the old Washington Regional Hospital at Fayetteville when they first tried to figure out what was wrong with her, and she was going to have surgery. They were going to remove her spleen. She has a blood disorder. She's not harmful to anybody. She'll love you to death. So we're going to take her spleen out. She was sick. She was bad sick. I didn't know she was going to make it. We were there in the room. They come to get her, prepped her for surgery, to take her down. They let me walk along with her. We went down there and we got to the down where the surgery room was at, the surgery floor. We got to them old swinging doors that they just hit. Got there and they said, as far as you can go. That turned loose. That turned loose. And I come out in that waiting room. Brother Lonnie was there. Family was there. And I thank Him for coming. I love Him. I love Him. Thank you for the support He's given me through the years. Brother Lonnie, thank you that you was there. And I know that you loved Tammy and you loved us. And you was praying for us. But I didn't get any peace there. And I looked around that waiting room and all the other people that were there, not for just us, for their families' needs and everything. Brother Arliss, I was struggling. My heart was hurt. And then the Shekinah glory came down. God came and He touched my heart, Brother Ryan. And He told me everything was going to be all right. Everything's going to be okay. I'm telling you what, we can experience the Shekinah glory of God today. God, it's God's presence with us. We've got to acknowledge that. We've got to understand that. You preachers and you pastors that are here, we ain't had those conversations yet. There'll be times when you're up there preaching. You guys know what I'm talking about. You preachers and pastors. Brother Randy, you're sitting there at the back, you know. You'll be preaching and there'll be struggles and there'll be battles. You'll be thinking about what's going on over here and what's going on in these people's lives and everything. And you'll be struggling along. But I want to tell you, the Shekinah glory of God can be there. The presence of God can be there to help you and take care of you. He loves you. Amen. He's the King of glory. And His Shekinah glory is His presence with us. Oh, we need to walk realizing that. The world out there doesn't want you to understand that. God is with us through Jesus Christ, the Comforter that He sent. I'll not leave you, I'll not forsake you. He will take care of us. We got to understand and we got to look to Him and realize that He is there. We got to look to Him and we got to trust unto Him. I believe Peter experienced that when he stepped out of the boat there on that rough sea that time. He had his eyes on Jesus and then he got to looking around, the cares of the world and things began to sink. And then the Shekinah glory come in, God's presence, Jesus Christ, lifted Him up and took care of Him. Hey, we need to understand that. That Shekinah glory is there for us. The presence of God is there for us. 2 Corinthians 6:16. And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them. I will be their God and they shall be my people. Well, glory, hallelujah. The Shekinah glory is here with us. He said, I will dwell in them. I will walk in them. them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. I'm trying to encourage you today to realize that God is right here today for us. You need the presence of God in your life. You need to be sold out unto Him. So when we by faith confess Him with our mouth, the Lord Jesus, and believe in my heart that God has raised Him from the dead, I shall be saved. Amen. When I call upon Him, I repent of my sins. Hey, we got to put that R word in there nowadays because they don't do it anymore. You got to repent. You got to turn unto Him. Turn away from your sins and follow Him and give glory to Him. There's no glory if you continue on living the way that you was when you come to the altar.
That's the truth.
There's no glory. But when you turn your life over to Him and you get up and you let Him change you, you let Him change you, that's what He wants to do. That's what He did in me. All glory be unto God, and I praise Him for that. Why should I live to do all to the glory of God? So that I might live in the presence of God. I want to be in the presence of God in every area of my life. I want to be in His presence. Amen. The scripture I started with says, do all to the glory of God. I want to ask you here today, is everything that you do, the way that you're living, give all glory unto God? Do you have an awe for God of that He created everything? That everything is in the palm of His hand? Is the presence of God in your life? I want to tell you, if it's not, you can have it today. He offers it unto whosoever will, the Word of God tells us. He extends that unto you. Heavenly Father, Father, I could not have stood and done what You had me to do today without Your presence in my life. Lord, I'm wholly and totally dependent upon You. And Lord, I just submit everything to You. And Lord, as Brianna comes for a song of invitation, Brother Ryan, I pray that, Lord, that You'll speak to hearts here today. Lord, there may be somebody here that's been discouraged, Father. They feel like they're all alone. They feel like they're in the battle by themselves. Lord, let them experience the Shekinah glory, Your presence in their life, Father. Would You do that, Father? Would You move in their hearts, Lord? Lord, draw them unto You. Lord, I pray for a lost soul here, Father. Lord, for someone here that's never been saved, never been delivered, never been born again, never repented. Lord, Your Holy Spirit right now, Your presence is there right now, convicting them, speaking to their heart and dealing with them. Father, would You draw them to You? Would You save their souls? Lord, would You do that here today? Lord, I thank You again for loving me. Thank You for saving me. Thank You for allowing me to preach Your word, Father. God, I couldn't do it without Your presence. And I don't ever want to try. I just surrendered unto You. Lord, have Your way. In Jesus' name I pray.